Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome back. You are watching the after show for Homeland on AfterBuzz TV. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes.
There it goes. So excited to talk about this week's episode.
Setting the mood. And someone always actually pointed out, I said this is a sax. They said it's a trumpet. And there it is.
I just love it. Fills my ears.
Definitely a trumpet,
pumped.
Rick.
Yeah. I'm bad with my jazz music. Thank you. Hey, After Buzzers, welcome back. You are watching the after show for Homeland. We're covering episode 8, Alt Truth, and you're going to want to stay tuned to this specific episode because I've got something to announce about our next episode.
That's right. It's going to be really exciting.
Yeah. So I'm your host, Rick Hong, and you can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. And I'm joined by Leslie.
That's right. I am your co-host, Leslie Correll. You can catch me online at LeslitaFace on Instagram and Twitter. Send me your thoughts. I love hearing them.
Okay, so this is interesting because as we sat down before this stream started, I told her how much I loved this episode. She said, she's like, it was okay. So.
Okay, well, because you said it was a really, really great episode. I thought it was good. It wasn't my... it wasn't, and I always keep it real. I love Homeland. I thought it was a good episode. Right off the bat, I have to say, how great was it seeing Carrie and Saul together again? For me, that was the highlight. Because yeah. I didn't even realize how much I missed them on screen together, you know, talking again. So it was good. I still enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, and so now what we're going to do is we're going to figure out and talk about how they do get back.
Yeah.
And, you know, in cahoots with each other.
Exactly.
So so it was an interesting kind of opening because mm-hmm. now we see the actor Jake Weber back as, you know, Brett O'Keefe
yeah.
and, you know, starting controversy.
Dangerous talk show host, man. I just, that whole scene was so eerily, like, just, it was just disturbing for me, you know? I mean, you know, I don't really watch those shows very often, but you do get a sense of, like, you know, this is stuff that happens in real life. He's got these panel of, you know, former military servicemen, and they're essentially, he's lined them up to make the president's son look bad.
Yeah, you've got yeah, you know, yeah, and he's definitely asking questions that mm-hmm. kind of direct it this way, and that's where we see this guy Rudy come yeah. in, who he's looking very, like, guilty, or mm-hmm.
he's
hesitant.
Having second thoughts, yes, and you know, he's basically saying, no, I don't think I can do this. He wants to back out, and the host is so slick. I just feel like, oh, really? And he just handles him and basically gets him on board. I felt so ick with the whole episode, just because at the end of the day, you know, like, it just felt like, who are you to, like, you know, there's a soldier who fought for his country, and you're, like, nitpicking, like, oh, well, this seems like an act of cowardice, or this doesn't seem like a leader. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, you still have to respect the people in uniform. It just felt like he was ripping them apart.
It's
very tabloidy.
Yeah,
it's
very easy from afar to exactly point fingers
yeah.
or make your own decisions about people that are in service,
the front lines,
yeah, on the front lines,
in danger. Just because, you know, even if all of the stuff they said was true, you don't know what that's like. And even if someone runs or they're in fear, that moment, that's scary. And I felt like it felt really awful to see him rip him apart, especially when you know it's all politically motivated.
Yeah, I mean, especially in a real life situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, yeah, if you're just seeing everybody's getting cut down, you're like, okay, well, I can either sit here and get cut down with everybody else, or I can cut and run and then come back and fight on another day.
Mm-hmm. And then he kind of eggs the mom, like, well, that doesn't seem like something, like, or would you say that was great? You know what I mean? And then slowly they, like, start to buy into the narrative, and they're like, yeah, you're right, you know?
And the key thing is, he says it, and, you know, as they say, money talks, bullshit walks. He says, hey, you were paid. You know, you got your money.
Yeah.
You know, and that
he tried
alone,
to give it back, and he was like, no, that's for you, but...
That's for the footage that you get, like that weird, just gruff
yeah,
voice
yeah.
that he had.
But that was definitely, you know, it kind of set the tone for the episode, Alt Truth, and I mean, we obviously get to see him later in the episode.
Yeah,
it's deeper than we think. It's not just, I'm the host of a talk show, you know, on cable news. He's obviously got something more at stake in this.
Yes. You know, and at the same time, that's kind of going on. There's, you know, there's a scene with Keen and, you know, typical, I guess, kind of cheesy, but, you know, she's got the locket.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, younger picture of her son's in there and you see her putting it on.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you know, it's sad because, you know, she lost her son and she tried to do the right thing up until this point. What she thought was the right thing was, you know, I don't want to use his death and like as a ploy or to make myself look good. And as soon as like she mentions him in order to like make it seem like she wasn't hiding, now she's going to get attacked. It's almost like it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, I think maybe that's one of the reasons possibly why she didn't open that door is because if I open this door, here's the backlash or something else, the other side of it. So it's kind of, I'll open only so many doors.
Exactly. And we know that they didn't exactly part on good terms, or they weren't like at the most agreeable state of their relationship when he passed away.
Yeah, and then we kind of see the narrative, like he's like telling him at the network or at the station or when they're on air or like when they're off behind the scenes anyways, like about how so he was running away from the fight, you know, and everything, and he's already like making up the story.
Yeah, like he was there. It's like, no sir. Oh, it was that scene. I was just like, ooh, I was already like mad at him going in like right away.
Yeah, his wheels are already spinning about how he's going to produce this show and how he wants to do his narrative on top of the other guys already like that already joined in and are on board.
And again, you know, I totally get like if you have your, you know, political perspective, your viewpoints, but I just felt like taking, you know, a soldier's story and twisting it to make him seem like he was dishonorable, you know, that just didn't sit well with me.
So now, now we're moving into where it kind of gets juicy and it's interesting that, you know, you think of like when you're asked to be like put in like witness protection or this or that, you know, there's many different safe houses and everything. But so we see Saul going to essentially a homeless shelter. And Javadi's
he's been hanging out there.
Yeah, which is actually kind of brilliant, but I don't think a guy of his stature, remember we saw him in that big old pool.
He's used to ladies luxury and, I don't know, lap dances. I'm thinking of another L word.
or just something, but that's but definitely luxury, but that's like 180 from luxury.
Yeah. I mean, he's in a tough spot. At least at this point of the episode, he was in a very tough pickle there, and I guess that was his best option. It wasn't a bad setup. I mean, as far as, like, being hidden, because who knows who's coming after him.
But at the same time, he's losing his patience. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, I can't stand being in this place. If I just sleep in this place, like, one more single night, and, you know, he's attacking Saul, and Saul basically saying, President Keen is busy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out the right angle in terms of how to get to her.
Yeah.
Which is also planting seeds of doubt in Javadi's mind about how much things, like when things go down, how much it's going to go in his favor.
Yeah. I love the scene following. I don't know if it was the exact scene following when Saul goes to Carrie's house and he's like, who are you again?
When he's with Max.
Yeah, like, and it's so funny because we've seen both characters since the first season. And I don't know. I just like we follow them, but I forget that like they haven't had much interaction at all. That scene made me laugh. I was like, because they're both close to Carrie, but in very different avenues. I feel like Max is always like part of Katie's shady operations, you know, like when she needs to set up something, she doesn't want to tell Saul because she knows it's not on the up and up. And I don't know. That was just funny. I was amused.
Yeah, they're walking. He's walking to the door. It's just like, it's like, hey, man, what's going on? He's like, the door was unlocked.
I know.
Where's Carrie?
Yeah. He was like, okay. I don't know. It right away, Saul was kind of like very dismissive. And I was like, you're not, you know.
I thought it was funny that, so he uses the code word. Well, she's, you know, the black dog is here to talk about her depression.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure enough, as we see, as I always say every episode, or I hope for every episode, drink up when you see crying Carrie face.
Crying Carrie face. I mean, she went through a really tough situation in the last episode, and now she's dealing with, you know, being alone in her house without her daughter, and I feel like that's heartbreaking, you know, for any mom, but especially with Carrie, because I don't know, the way I saw it felt like they really like punched all of her, like, you know, worst
she was dismantled. Yeah.
And like insecurities about themselves, used it against her. It just felt terrible,
you know. And we talked about this in previous episodes, and she even mentions it again. She's like, I thought this would be different.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that this would be different. Yeah, she could have like a completely different life, and yet the drama still surrounds her.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. She stepped away from the CIA. She was working for, like, you know, nonprofit, or I think it was like a law firm, to help these people who can't afford representation. Like, you'd think, okay, I'm out, you know. But somehow it all got sucked in. And maybe it was herself when she, like, went in to look for the audio to get him off. You know, that kind of fell down the rabbit hole of things that eventually will suck you back in and set yourself in a tough situation.
And the scene does a good job of, as well, of kind of setting up how Saul and Carrie kind of can get back in each other's good graces. Because the last time we saw them, you know, he was basically accusing her.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, he was accusing her, saying, well, like, dude, you're in cahoots. Why don't you admit it? And she's like, I'm not in cahoots.
She wasn't honest with him at all.
But now Saul sees her vulnerable, and he needs something from her.
Yeah.
So he hears the story, and we all know that he genuinely cares about her.
Yes.
So, you know, so now he's going to go try to figure out all the information for her about Franny.
I was so happy to just see them again. I feel like they're one of my favorite parts of this whole show is just the relationship between Saul and Carrie. I feel like there's a closeness, you know, they're not afraid to get at each other's face and, like, you know, stand up to each other. But at the same time, at the end of the day, I really think they're always going to have each other's back.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's always father, daughter. I mean, even the a couple seasons ago where Saul's
put her in a mental institution.
Well, no, but on top of it, she, you know, she he wants to kill himself, and she's like, you know, she puts in a straight situation where that they prevent him from doing that. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, he starts going off on her, you know, because that selfishness of, I don't want someone that I care about to have to pull this. So
It's they really have seen each other at, like, their worst and best, I think.
They know that they can always sit there and say, like, who can you rely on, or who you recommend, or...
It doesn't matter if we haven't seen each other for months, and the last time we talked, you lied to my face. You know, we're back good, because they have that. That's awesome.
So, now we go to Peter.
Quinn.
Yeah, Peter Quinn. Peter Quinn, and Astrid.
Yes. So, he's out in the woods. He's still not well. And I know I've been vocal about this. I know it's so tough seeing Quinn in this situation. I just, like, I'm like, oh, just get better. And I feel like... He kind of said at some point, like, that it's hard for him to accept that, too, to Astrid, like, that he's not going to get better. And
when he says, you know, he's trying to, you know, you see him really struggling, and this is a key thing. Yeah, like, seeing realness as opposed to reality.
Yeah, I actually like the line he said. He was like, my dreams feel like realness, and then my reality, or he says my realness, feels like dreaminess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Even though, like, he couldn't get the right, like, you know... grammatically correct words in that sentence, it felt, I don't know, I really liked it. It almost felt poetic. Yeah. I really liked that quote he said, because, I don't know, it kind of was an insight to his mind, and maybe that's why it's hard for him to separate, like, what's the truth in front of him. And he does have a bunch of people who lie to him all the time, and he knows that there's something up, so it's like, it's probably hard for any sane person to figure out, okay, who's lying to me, what's the truth? And then on top of that, he's got brain injuries, so... I mean, it's extra sticky.
Yeah, and we get to see where he kind of is in terms of his actual, like, what he can, which plays key here in a little bit, which we'll discuss. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in terms of how he's able to actually even just express himself to people. And even when it seems for us, it seems like really easy to say certain words. But for him, that's a part of his tragedy.
And then he starts searching through the house, and he finds all of these... like, documents. He finds a passport with his name on it. It has his picture. Well, it's not his name. It's his picture. And
someone else's.
Someone else's name. Right. It's another identity. It felt very Bourne. Like,
Jason. Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. It's very Jason Bourne. Absolutely.
It's funny because when he was doing that, again, I love it because I still see remnants of Spy Quinn. Like, he's still, like, looking out. And I'm like, what are you going to do, Quinn? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, big old wad of, like, cash money, like $100 bills.
Like a good getaway bag, just, like, bolt out of here if you can, and you're set, essentially.
Yeah, but instead of him going to an actual, you know, safety deposit box, where you usually see those things, like, and you wouldn't burn, it's just this manila envelope, like, sitting in a drawer in the kitchen.
I almost feel like maybe it was meant to be found by him, by Astrid. I don't know. I'm not even sure what the setup was there, but...
What did you think of him when he went to the car? I get why he went to the car, but what did you think of him actually kind of emptying... the bullets.
Oh my gosh. It sucks because obviously that came back to bite us in the butt later. But in the moment, I was like, yeah, because again, it's hard for him to figure out what's the truth, who's actually on his side. So I feel like as soon as he saw all of the documents and all the shadiness, and he's like, you know, for all he knows, they're going to mind wipe his brain and send him to be an assassin somewhere else. I don't know, probably not. But, you know, who knows where his mind goes. So he wanted to protect himself. emptying out the bullets and that gun, leaving it there so the person who put it there still feels safe.
Right. Usually don't like pop the thing open and see their bullets in it because you assume that it's already.
But it's funny. I was thinking if you're like a really good trained person, you know the weight of the gun, like with bullets or something. I don't know. I feel like some people would know that. But yeah, at that time I was like, okay, yeah, good. Like I was into it. Like, yes, I get why he's doing this. He's still suspicious and he should be.
Yeah, I mean, it does a good thing of letting Astrid not prevent him from leaving again if he needs to.
Yeah,
in an extreme situation.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, goodness. So then what came up after that?
Well, so then, okay, yeah. So now we kind of see the effects of what Saul can do for Carrie. Mm-hmm. Before, you know, Saul really does all these things. Yeah, you know, he's obviously does care about her, but he does have to scratch her back.
Yeah.
Like she should scratch his back, or so he can scratch his back.
Yeah.
And so we see, you know, she goes to the foster home, mm-hmm. and Franny seems to be having
a
good time.
She seemed pretty happy. She was playing. She was friends. That was probably painful for Carrie to see. As soon as it looked like she was going to, like, go outside, unbuckling her belt, opening the door, Saul stopped her. I was like, thank you, please, because she's about to do something crazy, Carrie.
Yes.
And she's going to ruin everything. He literally said everything I was thinking. He was like, stop it. You're going to make it worse. Like, at least take in the, you know, be grateful that you know that she's safe and she's happy as much as it hurts you, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it just dawned on me as we were talking about it. It's also kind of a thing. It's like, now you can snap out of your depression. Now you see that she's okay. Now that you see that she's happy. Because, yeah, she's just in that funk listening to her iPod or whatever music she was listening to the whole time before.
Maybe jazz.
Yeah. listening to the trumpet.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. And even though, like I said, internally, she's probably sad because she doesn't get to spend time with her. She knows she's in a good spot. And, you know, realistically, Carrie doesn't have, like, a lot of time that she spends with Franny anyway. So maybe she's kind of just missing the evenings with her, essentially. And I hope that eventually she can get her back, but figure out really has to get a handle on the balance thing. Because so far, she keeps, even though she's stepping away from, you know, spy work, she's really not. She keeps picking jobs that, like, are consuming all of her time and potentially putting her and her daughter at danger.
Yeah, and then now we get to the nitty-gritty. Mm-hmm. So now Saul's like, okay, she's paying attention to me. She's out of her little whatever
he's
it
like,
is.
Carrie, I need you to listen.
Yeah, and he goes back, and now they go back into the relationship that we see.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, delivering pieces of information. You know, he's like sitting there saying,
she's processing it.
Mm-hmm. Javadi's here. You know, like they're talking about the parallel program with North Korea. And he's like saying, I need you
to help me
get an audience with President Keane, mm-hmm. or Madam President-elect, as they
later
on say, like, that's how you should address her.
Yeah.
And then Carrie starts kind of like whining all of a sudden, saying like, wait a minute, is Dar Dahl the puppet master?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, what do you mean? He's still not convinced that Dar's screwing with them.
I'm kind of a little disappointed. I was like, come on, Saul.
Although he's been, because we're watching it as an audience, and he's definitely not in Carrie's life to put those type of pieces together.
He knows the stuff that Saul's maneuvered in the past. And I feel like they said a line as to some point that it's all theater. Like, everything's being set up to make it look like, you know, these treasonous things are happening, but it's not. And
yeah, like, he's dumbfounded when she talks about Sekou and the mm-hmm. man, and he's like, what? But then the one thing that he...
They don't even know that's probably all connected.
Yeah, he obviously didn't know about the FBI agent.
Yeah.
You know, and she's just like, dude, all these things are going on. And then he says, why didn't you come to me? And she says, I didn't know whose side you were on.
And it's funny because practically, yeah, that makes sense. But in my head, I was like, well, she didn't come to you. She's been busy. She literally had her house, like, in a hostage situation. She lost her daughter. She's been in depression. Like, I mean, realistically, all of that stuff. And that guy she was working with kind of, like, died randomly. It all happened fast. So in my head, I was like, well, when was she supposed to go and give him a call? Like, and he was out of the country for a long time.
Oh, yeah, true.
But, I mean, yeah, I still get that she probably still thought that at the end of the day, you know, the last time they had seen each other was him asking her, grilling her, you know, are you in cahoots with the president? Dar came and threatened her, but
yeah. So exactly. So they're not really. Yeah, it's if you add it up logically, it's kind of like we didn't really kind of have a good conversation.
It's not like
the last
she like
time.
Came across you and she just like didn't bring it up. It's just, but I mean, I still get what he feels like, because maybe in past situations she would just call him. You know what I mean? And as soon as like,
oh, absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. But she's a civilian.
Yeah.
So now we go back to Quinn and Astrid.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I actually really enjoyed this scene. I feel like, oh my gosh, Quinn's awesome.
Yeah, I want you to break this one down.
Okay, so he essentially tells Astrid off. He, like, because he doesn't trust her in this scene. He's literally like,
well, why? They go to the grocery store first.
Oh, wait, yes. They go to the grocery store. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. I go to the grocery store and he sees that guy and then
he... Or does he?
Right? And then Astrid, okay. You know, is there and it all seems too coincidental for mm-hmm, him. Mm-hmm. He starts thinking, what if she really is, like, working with these people and there's these secret documents? I don't understand. So by the time they get back to the cabin or log house, whatever, he kind of tells her off. And it was funny because it was all of the thoughts I was thinking. He was like, why are you helping me? You're all the way overseas. Really? You dropped everything to help me? He kind of just breaks it down like, I don't believe you. I don't buy you. And he freaking, like, shoves her. I'm like, Quinn, why are you so violent all the time? Just shoving women.
He punched her.
And he punched her. Yeah. Right in the stomach. Sorry, all these things. He feel like he's getting so violent with women lately. And I was like, love you, dude, but calm down. Like, whoa, calm down. But at the same time, I was thinking the same thing, too. Like, why is she involved? Like, is, you know, did Dar, like, give her something because she knows she still cares about him? Or is she, I don't know. I was thinking the same thoughts. And then she basically breaks it down for him. And she's like, what do you think?
See, but that's why I've always, I mean, granted, you know, like, I always thought that would probably be her first motivation, although it does seem shady to be, as we always know, to be in cahoots with Dara Dahl.
Yeah.
So the paranoia area like that you're talking about right now, I do.
Yes. But essentially, she basically said she loved him. That's how I took it. Like, no, you are crazy. You're paranoid. I'm doing this because I genuinely care and love you. And he kind of like, I don't know, I feel like in a second he kind of did get it, and in his face he was just kind of like, oh, too much to process. But I don't know, that was a good scene. I was just like, whoa, crazy. It's so crazy.
So okay, so poor Javadi, he's still at the shelter.
Yeah.
He's getting like schooled in checkers mm-hmm. by somebody. And
they were playing checkers, right? I was watching it. And I was like, I was hoping they were going to play chess, but then they kind of I saw a side of it and they looked flat. Like,
well, it's because it's weird, lame because he talks about the king.
Yeah.
You know, and checkers seems like a very straightforward game,
well,
so you don't need...
Checkers doesn't have a king. It's chess. But it didn't look like they were playing chess pieces.
No, when you put the two...
I guess you're right.
You know, it becomes the king.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
But I was thinking the same thing. As he's talking about the king, and it seems like it should be a cerebral game, I'm looking at the board, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's clear chess. It's a clear checkers board, red and black
yeah.
you know, pieces, not... You know,
if anything, that's kind of funny. I feel like he's trying to make something fancy out of something that's clearly not. Because I feel like they use chess boards in drama series a lot, and they make them into metaphors. But in this case, they specifically picked a checker set. But it seems like he's still trying to, like, I don't know.
Make it
seem like it's, you know, more intelligent than it's just a game of checkers.
But so the thing that I thought was most hilarious mm-hmm. is as soon as he gets that text, you see he walks out that door... drops off like the trench coat, like the nasty, I mean, I'm assuming it was like this nasty trench coat or something. And
yeah.
then he's like all decked out in like this like badass suit. You know?
I mean, just because he's living in shady spots doesn't mean he got to dress that way, you know?
He's
a man of means.
No, but if I was in hiding,
that's why he has stuff over him.
Granted, you know, you don't necessarily have like a coat bag and all these things at a place like that. So I get it on that. And I just thought it was the most funniest thing is that one minute, yeah, he's in a home and just walks out that thing and just drops it. And he's a man that's like just ready to go out about the town, like all like crisp and everything. And
yeah, gets in the car with Carrie and yeah, he's and like, you?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah.
Yes, me. And, you know, that's when he starts putting the pieces together saying, wow, Saul must be really desperate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is going on? And that's where he started like, more of that seed that I think he planted in his mind about,
yeah.
you know, Saul's real reach
yeah.
starts to, like, diminish or confirms. Like,
maybe you're right, because he really does. In my head, I was like, I don't get what the big problem with Carrie is. I mean, he knows her. He knows that, you know, she's capable and she's been in the CIA. And Saul has a short list of people he can trust. So, I mean, but you're right. I felt like maybe it started making him rethink his, you know, little alliance at this time with Saul, you know, and what he's capable of, what can actually do for him.
So what was really, really interesting about their conversation is he brings up Brody.
Yeah.
I sat there and I was like, wow, you know, he's just bringing up this like random kind of conversation about how much he knows and,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, especially to her, you know, and probably like a conversation that you would almost never see the two mm-hmm. of them ever have.
Yeah.
You know, and he lets her know like, hey, you know, we had his body moved. I buried him somewhere else. If you ever want that, I'll give it to you, which is just it's so to me it feels very un-Javadi like.
Yeah, that's true. And I do, and people online have pointed out that they've gone out of the way to mention him this season. Like, drop his name in a couple of situations. I wonder what the purpose is. Is it just to remind us? Is it gonna...
Well, I know that, because it's been kind of easy to forget about Brody.
Yeah.
The last couple of seasons. I do know that from what I've been reading, not a big spoiler alert, but the producers have a plan. And so I guess it's good to kind of drop these things. And, you know, Javadi was, you know, in that part of the storyline. So if you're bringing him, it's kind of a good way to... Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's real, real...
I'm wondering, like, what... Because I'm listening, I'm watching, I'm like, what does it have to do, with this story? Like, why are they bringing it up? Like, it seems very deliberate, and I want to know why.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've got a couple more episodes for the season. Yeah. Maybe that'll, there's something else I'm going to tell you guys in a little bit.
Comes back from the dead. I'm just playing. I don't know. That'd be crazy.
So now everybody meets up.
Yes.
You know, Saul's there, Keen's there, Rob's there, finally. Mm-hmm. He's with his president.
I was really happy to see this reunion at first because, you know, the last conversation that we saw that Carrie had with Keen was not good. It was a drunken late night phone call where she basically hung up on her. But I guess she still does have a little, you know, pull with her, and she was able to still get this.
Well, you know, and I'm sure she mentioned, you know, Saul and like, the situation that's going on and what was I...
But the fact that she's still able to, like, communicate this through her, you know, and she hasn't just been like, I don't want to ever hear from her again, you know?
Okay, so first thought, you're meeting the president, what do you say? How do you address the president? Right off the bat.
Right off the bat?
First thought.
President?
President?
Well, I would say president and then their last name, so, yeah. You know what I mean?
And I thought this is educational when Javadi asks, you know, he says, like, how do I address her? And she says, Madam President-elect, you know, is how you would you address her. Because in my brain, I'm thinking, even though she's not the president yet, who we saw, I forget the actor, like, at the top of my head, but we mentioned him in a couple episodes ago. I would just call her President Keen. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, clearly he's...
Yeah, and, you know, it's weird because I feel like after the... Even with this last election cycle, you start calling the elected president just president. You know what I mean? I feel like they did that with Obama, and they did it with Trump. Like, you just start saying president in their last name. It's kind of like... I don't know. Do you think he did it just because of cultural differences, or was he trying to, like, be, I don't know, like, or do you think he genuinely didn't know how to address her?
Yeah.
Maybe because she's a woman, too, and he's not used to seeing that in his country?
And, well, technically, we have not seen it here yet.
Yeah.
We've not, unless you're watching Veep, which is a great show, but we haven't seen that here yet either to know how we would address. So I thought that was cool. I thought that was a cool thing that the writers did for that scene.
Yeah.
Just to kind of put it in there. And, oh, but...
It all goes awry. Mm-hmm. It all goes awry. And so she starts asking him questions, and he basically just, like, you know, poops in Saul's face. Essentially.
Yep.
Everything he said, the opposite.
Yeah. Exactly. Just he crapped in his face and
And then as he's speaking, you know, Saul's like, no, wait, this is not what he said. And, you know, he had just previously said, no, I verified this information. It's truth. It's not just what this guy's saying. And now this guy's saying something completely different. Like, way to completely invalidate him, make him look like a fool in front of the president. I felt bad for him. I was like, that sucks.
Well, you know,
you can't trust Javadi. Like, you really can't.
The thing is, she has no relationship. And he's proven that he's a double agent. So it's tough to know what.
Yeah.
To know exactly what what to take from and what not to take from it, and I don't think that she has great or a trusting relationship with Saul.
I feel like they had barely known each other. She's been more in contact with Dar and sort of. Hearing about the Saul
puppet master.
Hearing about Saul from Dar. So, and she even, like, Carrie even said, you know, the reason he even went in the first place was on Carrie's recommendation, and now Carrie's probably on thin ice with her as well, so everything looks bad.
And then we see Carrie running after Madam President-elect, saying, you can't trust Javadi, you've got to listen and trust Saul, and this is the ramifications of... all the things that were going on with Carrie and the Madam President-elect or President Keen in terms of, oh, hey, by the way, you know, say cool. She didn't specifically say all these things. She made a very generalization, but it's clear that She's like, dude, you're not.
She ain't having it.
You're not. I'm not Team Carrie anymore.
Yeah. I love that. That's exactly how it is. And it sucks because soon after, you know, Saul chases, you know, Jihadi down and he's like, bro, what's up? Like, really? And it was Dar, essentially. He, yeah, like, hitched his ride to what he thought was a more secure bet.
So before,
and that sucks.
So my question is before he actually, Jihadi actually reveals, mm-hmm, that he said, dude, I'm going to go with the better horse. Mm-hmm. Did you think, which one did you believe? Did you believe what he was telling the president the truth, or did you know that he's deliberately lying?
I knew he was lying.
Okay, you knew he was deliberately lying.
I was trying to figure out. I mean, it crossed my head, stupid Dar, and of course it was a thing. But we've seen him this season already double cross people who put their trust in him. The guy who saved him, then he shoots them. So he really is just looking out for himself. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really care who else gets hurt, who else looks stupid. It's all about number one for him.
Okay,
so now, he's proven that time and time again.
Yeah, so okay, so like now Dar's got his fingers with Jihadi.
Yeah.
And then we after this whole altercation with everything that's going on and Jihadi like throwing Saul to the ground and taking off in a nice like black SUV because, yeah, I guess maybe sent by Dar Adal.
Who knows? But that's not the only guy Dar's teaming up with.
Yeah, what happens? What do we see?
Goes back to the first scene with the talk show host.
Yeah, Brett O'Keefe.
Yes, and they're in together. It's like, wow. For a second, okay, I was kind of annoyed at the show. They're almost making Dar like into this omnipresent behind everything boo-boo man. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, wow, really? He's behind this too? So essentially we see that him and Bud.
And it's kind of scary to think, how much power, yeah, does this guy have in his reach? His, yes, reach.
And so, you know, he's essentially showing him how they're editing the package with all the soldiers, talking crap about Keen's son. He's like, oh, look, this is really good. And then it's like, wow. Like, he is really, like, just ripping. I said this before. He was ripping Carrie apart at every angle, but now he's coming after the president at every angle. Like, oh, you know, let me, you know, keep her away from her communication and her team. Let me, you know, give her false information so she makes wrong moves overseas. Let me have people here in the homeland attacking her on the TV. Like, every direction, he's just, like, coming after her.
Yeah, so we absolutely do see that the footage is...
Yeah.
It's you always give people the power to edit. Mm-hmm. Unlike this, because this is live right now, guys, so no one's editing this. But
this is us talking, but that was... And it sucks because he was already manipulating them in the conversation, and then they kind of, I don't know, maybe I didn't get this, allude that the video is also, like, manipulated or not 100% exactly how they're going to present it.
So yeah, he's going to edit it. He's totally going to produce and edit it the way he wants to, and, yeah, he's getting Dar's approval, and it's absolutely not what went down.
Yeah.
We see that he's, and he even says it, he's just like, I see a guy that's, you know, saving his other troops, and like, no, I'll show you how we do
it. He's running, and he's doing this, and, oh, it's just, it's terrible. And then I was like, oh my gosh. You know, what you think is just, you know, this show on TV actually has all of these, like, financial, you know, backings. I'm not saying, I don't know if it's financial, but, like, all of these, like, backings. And then it made me think, you know, what's in it for him, too? Like, I mean, obviously,
if
he's with Dar, he's on Team Dar, what does he get out of it? Is it just ratings? Is it because he also has policy, you know, beliefs and agendas that he wants to pass along to the administration? I don't know, man.
Yeah, it just becomes like one of those big news outlet, mm-hmm, guys that gets all the information and breaks, mm-hmm, you know, all the before other people do, and that gets ratings and, yeah, money and endorsement deals.
But that was crazy. I didn't expect that, and then I was like, oh man, this guy's just everywhere. It's crazy.
So okay, so Peter does, you know, Peter after he knocks down, mm-hmm,
he feels bad.
Yeah, no, but this is great. After he knocks her down, he goes and figures out, you know, on the drive back from town, mm-hmm, they had seen, you know, he thought that he saw the neighbor,
yeah,
at a motel. So that's just so in his mind, the whole plot, mm-hmm, is, I've got to get back there.
Yes.
So after he struck down Astrid, he goes there, and you think that now I'm sitting there going, Quinn's back. He's, you know, even if he's half man, he just clearly knocked down Astrid, who's been an agent or something. Granted, she wasn't prepared for him to hit her, but he's going to take care of, yeah, some business.
Yeah.
And what does he do? He hits somebody. But it's not.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he makes that mistake. Well, I mean, I do know how he makes a mistake, but it's like, really?
You think he's just seeing things?
Yeah, it was like, I was like, oh, and then, you know, and then he, exactly, he's just like, oh my God, I'm brain damaged, or I made a mistake. And he comes back to Astrid, and, you know, and that's...
Unless it was someone else, and he really, I don't know.
Yeah, but then they have, like, Astrid and him talk, and he's realizes, like, I'm a fool, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole love thing
they
comes
have a
out,
heart-to-heart, and then...
We actually see the neighbor from Carrie's neighbor.
Yes, it's actually him, unless we're not seeing correctly.
Yeah, no, and we are. We absolutely are. And he's sniping away.
Shots fired. Oh, my gosh. And this was intense. There's bullets going around. They're running outside. You know, Astrid runs out. And, oh, my gosh.
And he can't. And so this is where everything takes effect, is that he can't say the words bullets.
Yeah.
That's what, in the end, that was Astrid's demise. Is she had no idea what Quinn had done. And he's trying to say, no, there's no bullets. But he's like, there's no... And he's only doing the action of what he had done. And so we...
He gets her killed. I mean, in all honesty, he emptied her gun. That was... she had a clear shot at him. She could have. Blanks. And he couldn't effectively communicate what happened. And that's it.
So, I mean, so it's strange. So, like, so far in the season, what we've seen...
Couple deaths, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of deaths. Sekou's death. Mm-hmm. We've seen Agent Conlon's death. We've seen the guy that was trying to help out Javadi.
Yeah.
That was a loose end, though, so whatever.
and now Astra's death. And, I mean, you know, obviously it's tough because, you know, they had just gotten a heart-to-heart. She basically said she loved him. He found someone who really kind of does care about him. Well, not kind of. She cares about him. She's on his side. She lets you punch her and push her around, and she's still here for you, and you got her killed. All because of your suspiciousness. That sucks.
So we see, so we see Quinn get grazed on the head. And like shot in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's trying to do what he can do. And then he gets hit somewhere and then goes into the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And so the neighbor comes by looking for him. And just, you know, and the thing is that they talk about it all the time. When you have a gun and you're shooting into water, there's the saying, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, and 9 times out of 10, you're not going to hit something.
It's so stupid. And I tweeted about this. It's like, you know, random, I didn't remember his name at the time, assassin. It's like, you can't do half measures. You got to know he's dead. You got to see the dead body, and you don't just like shoot into the river. Okay, I'm sure he got killed and bolt.
If it's me, if I'm a good assassin, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit on that shoreline after I've done all that, make sure I have some extra rounds, and I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait for a body to pop up.
Exactly. You got to see the dead body. You can't just, that was like sloppy work.
Although, I mean.
Obviously I'm happy because I don't want Quinn to die, but.
But although it's kind of cool because maybe that's where Quinn's instinct kicked in and. He knew, like, dude, I got to hold my breath as long as possible.
I mean, how long can he hold it? He's already got brain damage.
Yeah, it's freaking cold.
He needs.
Freaking cold.
But you know what? This is why I love talking about, you know, Homeland. You said really great episode. I was like, it was good. But now after talking it out, I'm like, you're right. It was a really great episode.
I mean, Astrid's a major character. You know, she's like.
She's been around.
You know, yeah, she's revealing her deepest, darkest, like, this is what our relationship was really, really, really about. He's like, we just screwed. That was it.
But that was it. We don't mean anything to each other. That was mean. I feel like, you know, as a woman, someone you care about, you just went through all of this crap to help him. And that's what he's saying to you. Like, ugh, that sucks for her. At the same time, you know, she was probably the only other potential love interest he has. So that clears up the way for Quinn and Carrie down the line. I'm still roping for them. Okay. They're gonna happen.
Yeah, that's when you drink again. Is when she says, "Let's get Ross and Rachel back together, Quinn and Carrie." Then that's when you drink too.
Yeah. But yes, you're right. It was a really great episode.
Okay. So predictions.
Always get this.
And now you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Sounds like aliens. I predict aliens on the show. Yeah. I'm just playing. So I feel like Quinn, this is going to affect him.
And I agree with you.
No, but I feel like maybe, I don't know, because at first I was like, maybe he's not going to be as suspicious because it's too much and it's starting to backfire on him. But at the same time, it's like, well, when do you stop? So I feel like, I don't know. I'm hoping that he becomes more careful in, like, his decisions, you know? I think he's going to come back and maybe team up with Saul and Carrie because they just got screwed. Mm-hmm. And they're clearly on the outs. They're all three of them. So maybe he finds a way to hitch his way back into town. Now that Franny's out of the way, you know, Carrie maybe won't feel so bad you know, bring him back in, and they can figure out a way to find out who's behind all this, which is Adar.
Yeah, I was, and that's my prediction, is I think we're going to see a definite butting of the heads, or like a definite like rundown of Saul going to Darn, mm-hmm. being like, what the F, man?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What is going on? Putting all the pieces mm-hmm. together, and just, you know, a big old blowout between yeah. the two.
You know what I think? I also feel like Jahadi before the...
Javadi.
Oh, Javadi. I'm so sorry. Before the season's over, he's going to also betray Dar. I feel like, yeah.
Because once a rat, always a rat.
Yeah. As soon as he sees a way out that's going to help him, I think it'll end up biting Dar. Because this is like the second time now that we've seen this season that, you know, someone helps him out, he ends up, you know, kicking them in the balls, or, you know, metaphorically. But I think that's what's going to happen.
So with Leslie saying that, guys, yes. Here's our little treat if you stayed tuned, like I told you to, is on Sunday at our taping, we are actually going to have Majid Javadi, I'm going to find out how to say his name correctly. He will be here in our studios, and
we'll ask him.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to him, asking him. I'm going to say what Leslie's prediction was, or she can say mm-hmm. it herself,
yeah.
and we'll see if he can let us know.
Yeah, give us some hints, and maybe, like, some insight into his brain, and, like, why he's always doing what he's doing, pissing us off, you know. I don't hate him, but it's like, damn, kid, I can't trust you at all.
And you guys know, too, that you can comment below in the YouTube. Like, I'll even try to have the chat on for that episode for, like, questions that you may want to ask him mm-hmm. about his arc on Homeland and this season. And
what it's like working on set.
Whether or not, like, the car that he and Carrie is in, if that's just a big green screen behind them, or were they actually, like, on a bridge and going.
If he has fun with his wardrobe, the different settings they give him. They give him, like, I mean, one scene he's like, oh, great fancy hotel. Next scene he's in, like, this
homeless shelter. What'd you think of the homeless shelter?
Yeah, so that'll be fun. Definitely tune in for that. And send questions that you want him to answer.
Tweet at us. So, Leslie, where can they reach you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LeslieThaFace. I try to respond to people. Let me know your thoughts, disagreements, agreements, predictions, anything that we might have missed in this episode. We try our best, but hey, sometimes we might miss some observations, so if you've got some, let us know.
Yeah, and thank you guys for watching. You can find me at Rick Hong, RACKHONG, on all social media. Please make sure to tune in to our Sunday broadcast, because hey, it's a treat to have someone on this show.
Yeah.
Especially a villain,
from the
too.
Show. You know, yeah.
Somewhat of a villain. So, yeah. All right, guys, we'll see you guys Sunday.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.